Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew in chapter 27. And we'll begin reading with verse 26 this morning. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. This morning, the message is, the soldiers make sport of Jesus. The soldiers make sport of Jesus. First of all, this morning, we want to consider the sentence. The sentence that was passed. Pilate gave in to the mob, led by chief priests and elders, who were demanding that Jesus be crucified. And immediately, right away, Barabbas was released. That notorious murderer, Barabbas, was released instead of Jesus, so that he, Pilate, might keep favor with the people. He was released. He should have died for his crimes. He was a murderer, and God's law had said that he should be put to death because he had taken the life of another. He had shed the blood of another. But with him released. But Jesus, the innocent one, as was noted by the dreams which Pilate's wife had, Pilate himself attested to, after examination, that he was innocent. Jesus, the innocent one, was delivered up so that the guilty might be set free. You see, even in the time of Barabbas being set free, and Christ being delivered up to the death, we have a type of what Christ did for us. Christ was delivered up so that I, the guilty one, might be set free. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 53. And look with me here at verse 5. Read, but he was wounded for our transgressions. For our transgressions, for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He, the innocent one, so that I might be set free. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. And look with me here at verse 24. Who his own self, Jesus, his own self, bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Oh, the innocent one took my sin so that I might go free, so that I might be set free, so that I might be, as we read here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, might be healed. Now our verse 26 in our text says that Jesus was scourged. Barabbas, Pilate set Barabbas free, and then Pilate had Jesus scourged. Think about the scourging. This was disgracefully cruel punishment. I can't even imagine being scourged in this manner. If I think about it, it just makes me shudder. That something could be hung against your flesh and tear it. Lay it open. And Jesus was scourged. A disgracefully cruel punishment it was. And especially as it was, in itself, and even if it was only 39 whacks, that would be bad enough. But as it was administered by the Roman soldiers would have administered this. There was no limit to the number of scourging, the number of stripes that they could give. The Jews were limited to 39. But not the Romans. To this degree, Scripture was fulfilled. In the scourging of Jesus, Scripture was being fulfilled. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 129. Psalms 129. And look with me at verse 3. And consider what this verse is saying to us. The plowers plowed upon my back. The plowers plowed. You see, coming from a farming community, there's a there's different instruments that a farmer can use. One is a drag. You can drag a drag over the ground, and all that does is just, like I said, is drag. It just drags across the top of the ground. Another is a disc. Well, a disc cuts into the ground a little bit, but a plow is usually set deeper. Plow goes deeper into the ground. And he said the plowers plowed upon my back. They made long their furrows. This was said concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50, and we've looked at this verse in the past, just recently. Isaiah 50 and verse 6. We said, I gave my back to the smiter. He gave his back to the smiters. Remember what he had told Peter there when the came to get him, and Judas had betrayed him into the hands of the mob. Remember what Peter took out his sword and cut off Malchus's ear, and remember what Jesus told Peter? He said, I could have called my father and he would have given me 10,000 angels. I could have called 10,000 angels. We sing a song. He could have called 10,000 angels, 10 legions of angels to deliver him and set him free. But that wasn't his purpose. That wasn't what he came for. He came to give himself back to the smiters. And my cheek to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Yes, this was my Lord. In this scourging that he received at the hand of the Roman soldiers, Scripture was fulfilled. And Scripture must needs be fulfilled. It is the Word of God. And God cannot lie. God does not lie. Now, Jesus is delivered to be crucified. While Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5 says, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Yet there is no peace made but by the blood of his cross. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians in chapter 1. And look with me down here at verse 20 in this chapter. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven, in earth, or things in heaven. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Everything where blood was shed, the scourging, yes, that was the shedding of blood. Certainly, as the flesh is ripped open, it would bleed. It's down across the back. And he says, in the Psalms, he said, made long the furrows. Probably the whole length of back was just torn flesh and bloody. But the real blood was shed when he died there on the cross. When his blood was said. And a soldier rammed that spear in his side, and out flowed blood and water from him. So therefore, he must be crucified. Scourging drew blood, yes, but it was not enough. He must die, symboling shedding of his blood. The hands and feet nailed to the tree. The weight of the body, if you can imagine the weight of the body hanging on those nails and hanging there until he died. Scripture, we'll see in the next week or two, we'll get into it. And he gave up the ghost. No man took his life. He laid it down. He gave it up. He died willingly for me and for you if you're his this morning. Secondly, we want to look in our text in Matthew 27. We want to look at the soldiers. As we read that, did you notice the soldiers' cruel treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ? Though Pilate called Jesus an innocent person, yet he bound him over to his soldiers, to Roman soldiers, to be crucified. The Roman soldiers were probably very skilled in cruel treatment and in the use of torture. As we consider this treatment by the Roman soldiers and how that they treated him, where was it done? Did you know where it was? He was taken by Pilate's soldiers to the common hall. The common hall. What was the common hall? The common hall was the headquarters. The place where orders were given out in the headquarters of Pilate, the governor. It was the place, the headquarters of the soldiers, the Roman soldiers that were assigned to that region, to that district. The common hall. Place in Pilate's palace, the governor's palace, where the Roman soldiers were headquartered. Who were they? Who was instrumental in this treatment? Who was involved in this treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, once they got these soldiers leading Jesus along, once they got to the common hall, once they got to the headquarters, did you notice who else was involved in this? The whole band of soldiers. I've read different commentaries and some have surmised how large a Roman band would have been at that time. All the way up to a thousand soldiers in one band. I don't know if the number would have been quite that high. But you can imagine several hundred soldiers around one man. gathered around Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what happened? Well, there's a list. There's a list of unmerited, contemptuous conduct against him. And that's what has to be said of it. It was unmerited and it was contemptuous behavior. It would be contemptuous for anyone to enter in on that behavior. But these were Roman soldiers. These weren't any sissies. These weren't weaklings. These were men trained in the art of cruel and extreme torture. And they gathered around Jesus for this purpose. Our verses tell us they stripped him of his clothes in verse 28. Oh, just imagine the shame. The shame of him being stripped of his clothes. We've read passages of Scripture talk about the shame. He didn't shy away from the shame that was ministered out to him. It also tells us in verse 28 that they put on him a scarlet robe. A scarlet robe. Well, this was in mockery of his being called a king. They put on him a scarlet robe. Not the robe that was royal to a king, but it was scarlet. Probably worn by some Roman soldier there that took it off and put it on Jesus. But it was a symbol of royalty. And this was done to mock him. It was in mockery of his being called a king. They put upon him a scarlet robe that was to symbolize the royal robe of a king. It tells us also in verse 29 that they wove a crown of thorns. That word plaited simply means the weaving. They wove a crown of thorns. Think about that. A crown of thorns. Again, this was in mockery of being called a king. They wove a crown of thorns, which most likely had been designed, a crown of thorns, to be painful. To be painful. Thorns. What do thorns symbolize? To you, what do you think of when you think of thorns? Oh, I think of ouch or something like that. But let your mind go to Scripture. What's your mind think of thorns? Thorns were synonymous with sin. Thorns were the curse for sin. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3, after God had pronounced judgment upon the serpent and pronounced judgment upon the woman, he then pronounces judgment upon the man. And he said, because thou hast eaten of me that I told you not to eat thereof, cursed is the ground. And it's of the ground you shall eat herbs, and your bread will be by the sweat of your brow. But he says in that, in verse 18, he says, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, thorns and thistles. There's the work, there's the labor, there's that which produces the sweat. Your work is not going to be joyous, it's not going to be pleasant anymore. But the earth now brought forth thorns and thistles, thorns that would be woven into a crown and placed on our Lord and Savior's head. The type that was pictured by Abraham's ram has come. Remember in the book of Genesis in chapter 22 and how that God had told Abram to take his only son Isaac, and go into a mount that he would tell him of and offer him there for a sacrifice. And Abraham obeyed, and they took their servant and Isaac and the wood and the fire, everything they needed for the sacrifice, and they went on their journey. They went to the mountain that God had told Abraham of, and he told his servant to abide there, to stay right there, and he and the lad would go up yonder and return. I like that. I like that. It says, and I and the lad shall return. Abraham's faith did not waver. He believed that he was coming back. Isaac was coming back with him to the place. But they get everything they need for that trek up the mountain and for the sacrifice. And Isaac turns his father Abraham, and he says, Father, he says, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And so they get up there and they get everything set on the altar, and the wood is piled up there and everything, and he binds Isaac, lays him on the altar, and he takes the sword, the knife, or the javelin, or whatever it was, in his hand and to slay his only son, Isaac. And God speaks from heaven and said to Abraham, he said, now I know that you will not withhold anything from me that I require of thee. In verse 13 of the 22nd chapter of Genesis says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. There was the lamb that was provided, that God provided that day for the sacrifice. But here in our text today is that lamb that Abraham said, God will provide himself a lamb. Literally, the Son of God, literally, God manifested in the flesh, is there. The type is fulfilled. They put a reed in his hand. Also, verse 29. Most likely, this was intended in mockery for a scepter. Scepter is a sign of royalty. The king was said to have a scepter in his hand. And so they put a reed in his right hand. A reed is something, you consider a reed is something that is weak. It's wavering. It withers. It's really worthless. What were they saying by putting a reed? mocking and putting a reed in his hand as a sign of a scepter. Certainly they were saying to Jesus, your kingdom is weak and is wavering and is withering. You're powerless. You're worthless. Nothing to it. But Christ was not so. Oh, they did not know that Christ was not so. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 45. And look with me at verse 6 of this psalm. The psalmist says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." What does that say? That says that a throne that is strong, a throne that is sovereign, a throne that shall endure for all eternity. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." Oh, yes. His kingdom is not weak and wavering. It's not worthless. But it is one that is strong. It is one that shall endure for eternity. It is a right scepter. They also, in verse 29, they also bowed the knee before him. Again, this was done in mockery. He wasn't a king that they should bow to, but they bowed the knee in mockery, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Probably laughing while they said it. You can just hear it now. I can hear it now. You can just imagine the mockery that they made of him. And then in verse 30, it says they spit upon him. Oh, this is a spitting on a person. What is that a sign of? It's a display of disgust. It's a display of contempt. Yes. They despised him. They hated him. Even the Roman soldiers. These were the soldiers doing this. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, it says, "I hid not my face from shame and spitting." He hid not his face from the shame. Shame of being stripped of his clothes. The mockery of a mock robe being put upon him. The mock reed stuck in his right hand. The spitting in his face. But notice this now, what they did. In verse 30, they took the reed that was in his right hand, and they struck him on the head. Think about that. They took the reed that was in his right hand and they struck him on the head. What was on his head? A crown of thorns. So as they took that reed from his hand and they struck him above the head with it, where that crown of thorns was set, it would have drove those crown of thorns deeper into his head. Oh, how painful that must have been. And oh, how the blood must have streamed down his head. You know, the head doesn't have a whole lot of feeling, but boy, just the least little cut on the head seems like it wants to bleed and bleed and bleed. You know? And then you take a crown of thorns up there. Those thorns pricking into the head, piercing the skin. Blood would have flowed. The pain he endured there. thirdly, we're told that verse 31, they transported Jesus away to the place of execution. After having had their time of fun, after having made sport of him, they removed the scarlet robe. It probably belonged to, as we said earlier, probably belonged to one of the soldiers. And put his own clothes back on him. Why would they bother to do that? Well, the robe probably belonged to another soldier. That was who he wanted after it was all bloodied and everything. I mean, think about that. The robe was put upon his back that had been scourged and bloody. Why would he want that robe back? Well, I think the significance is in the fact that they put his own clothes back on him. At this point, I think he was probably barely recognizable. And so he would be recognized to the chief priests and the elders and the mob and all those that looked on, and to Pilate, that by his clothes, that this was the one that is to be crucified. This is the one that we have given over. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah again in chapter 52. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Notice what it says here. As many were astonished, that is amazed, at the his visage, his appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Now certainly this verse has to do with as he hung there cross, and as he gave up the ghost there on the cross, his visage, his appearance was so marred and so disturbed that he wasn't recognizable. It was more than any man. But I submit to you that even before he was there on the cross, that by the time the Roman soldiers got through with him, the scourging that he had laid to his back, the mocking, the spitting, and the crown of thorns on his head, and the reed hitting the crown of thorns and driving them deeper into his head. Certainly, he may have even at this point been barely recognizable. They led him away to crucify him. Hebrews 13 and verse 12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. In verse 32 says, as they came out of the city, as they came out from the wall that surrounded the city through the gate to the place that he was to be executed. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12 tells us that he, in like manner as the sacrifices were burned without the gate, so Christ suffered, so Christ died without the gate, without the city, beyond the walls of the city. Verse 32 tells us that they forced Simon to bear his cross, a man of Cyrene. Now, Cyrene is a place that is in Libya. I don't think he wasn't a Jew. He was a Jew. His name, Simon, is a very common name among the Jews. In fact, one of the apostles was named Simon. Peter. Simon. Peter. The apostle. So he was a Jew, and he was there for the Passover. He had come from Libya, from Cyrene, to be there at the Passover. And he was there. And him they compelled. No, he didn't volunteer. He wasn't a willing participant. He was forced. That's what the word compelled means. He was forced to bear the cross of Jesus. Well, why do you think they got another to bear Jesus' cross? Well, we're not told. We're not told why they got Simon to bear the cross of Jesus. But it seems very likely to me that Jesus was not able at this point to bear it up. He'd have been in a weakened state just from the treatment of the soldiers. But consider this, he'd been up more than a day and night. That in itself is weakening. To undergo all that treatment. And these soldiers and Pilate certainly would have been fearful of Jesus in that weakened state, fainting, even dying before reaching the place of his execution. So they drafted Simon to bear his cross. In closing, we need to remember, as we think about these events that we have discussed today and transpiring upon our Lord Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the events that shall follow in the next week or two. Let us remember and always think on this, that he suffered all of this for me. He suffered all of this as my substitute. As my substitute. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 18, we read, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Yes, he, the just one, he, the innocent one, for the guilty, for those who were guilty. I'm guilty. He was put to death in the flesh so that I might be quickened by the Spirit. Shall we stand together?